are you guys doing? It is truly good to be together. We are in part 6 of our sermon series, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And as I said from the very beginning, I really hope that it gives you new thoughts and insights on prayer. I hope that it moves you to think of prayer in a deeper way than just giving thanks for the food that you eat or the day that God got you through before you close your eyes in sleep, but that you actually begin to understand the beauty of the gift of being able to go to God from anywhere and at any time and connect with Him whose eyes are on you. That is, in essence, the sweetness of prayer. I want us to see that sweetness of prayer is just the way that God restores and refreshes our soul. And in today's world, and really in the world to come and the world that's behind us, people of all times, God's people, have needed prayer. And we've looked at, you know, prayers from different individuals in different circumstances, and we have seen that prayer is not some kind of mechanical do A and God is obligated to do B. It's not a formula. They're spiritual principles, but it's not a formula. And so today, I'm excited to speak on one of the most beautiful, in my estimation, the most expressive, for sure, prayers in all of Scripture. And it comes out of 1 Samuel chapter 1. But before we go to the next slide, I want you to think about your life, and if you ever have had a moment or moments in your life where you felt like this lady that we're going to be talking about today, her name was Hannah. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we learn that Hannah was married to a man named Elkanah, that he had 2 wives, and his second wife, Peninnah, had many sons and daughters, and Hannah had none. We learn that Peninnah always was provoking, trying to irritate Hannah by saying things like, "You don't have a child, and I've got many children." And the result of Hannah's desire, her desire for a child she didn't have, affected her emotional state. Now, through my years of ministry, and especially speaking with women who wanted to be mothers but could not be mothers, there were times for some of them that was a very, very dark place for them in their life, in their emotional state. Sometimes so bad that they did not want to be around other women who had children or women that were pregnant because it just brought them such grief and jealousy for the child they wanted. Oh, Hannah, this woman of God, hear that. This woman of God, God's woman, faithful to her God, wanted a child but couldn't have a child. And she was miserable is an understatement. Here's what it says through 1 Samuel 1 about her emotional state. She was downhearted, so downhearted that she had no appetite. She was in deep anguish. She wept bitterly, constantly. She was miserable in her soul. She was deeply troubled and great anguish and grief. Have you ever experienced those emotions because you wanted something so badly but couldn't get it? You wanted it so bad, but you didn't have it. And the writer makes it clear for us that this was not a week or two, a month, just a season of emotional wreck. It was years. In fact, you see in verse 7, this went on year after year. If you look in your text in verse 3, it says year after year. Hannah, the woman of God, was in this area of her life, not all areas, but this area, because of this desire, was in a bad, dark place. You cannot read this and go, you know, if I was downhearted and if I had no appetite, and have you ever been to the place where you're just so soul sick that you can't even eat? Now, it takes a deep soul sick to get me to a place where I don't want to eat. But when you're there, you know what is being talked about here, and anguish and weeping and misery and trouble and grief and more anguish. That's where she was for years. And then verse 10 opens up with that backdrop. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. The first thing that I would say out of this text for us is to see about Hannah, although this was her emotional state for years, Hannah did not try to solve her problem on her own. She went straight to God. And you know, that's what we need to do. We don't need to try to solve our deep, dark issues and problems for the things that we want and don't have on our own. Christians, God's people, they go straight to God. He is the source of all blessings, and they go to Him for what they desire in their hearts. We want something, we don't have it, we're miserable like Hannah, and what do so many people do, even Christians? They go out into the world and they try to manipulate it, they try to figure it out themselves. I will fabricate it. I will make it happen. I can do it. I'm smart enough. I'm rich enough. You try to solve your problem on your own, it ends up being a failure because you are going it without God. So this morning, I know that if you're like me, and I know that we're all basically alike, and it may be at different times and situations in our lives, but you have problems. You've got problems that are heavy and burdensome on your heart. For yourself or for others, you don't go straight to self to try to fix it, and you or others go, like Hannah, straight to God. Isn't that a beautiful spiritual principle? Instead of, here is the formula, go into this room and that room and pray this and say that, just go to God with your problem. It's pretty easy. It's what she did. She took her problem straight to God. Then verse 11 says, and she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son. She wanted a son. Then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. No razor will ever be used on his head. Well, in this story, they are going from Ramah to Shiloh to make the annual sacrifice, that journey at the temple of God, and they're doing it year after year. We're getting this great picture of Hannah's emotional state, and what we see is now in this prayer that she is saying to God, she's like, Lord, I'm praying this prayer again. Although the text doesn't say it, it is clearly safe to assume that Hannah had prayed this prayer year after year, and not just when they went up to the temple, but year after year in her home in Ramah. Have you ever prayed a prayer that you desired something so much year after year after year? She was focused, centered. She wanted a child, and she wanted that child to be a son. And she starts making this vow, this promise to God. Hannah knew that God was the only one who could help her. And this is a little bit like the first thing that we talked about. God is the only one, ultimately, that can help you. Your parents, they can do things for you as God opens or closes the doors for them to do it. But if you as a parent are trying to do things from your child in your own strength, you'll cause more problems. But if you as a parent are submissive and surrendered before God and asking God, show me the way. What do you want me to do? How can I help them? How do I get their attention? Help me not to get between you and them. God can work. I want us to have hearts, because I want to have this heart as well, that I live my life thinking, believing in my spirit, in my gut, in my mind, that God is the only one that can help me. Do you live with that frame of mind? Because Hannah, even in her desperate emotional state, she did not quit praying and she did not give up, and she still believed, although for all those years her prayer was unanswered, she believed that God was the only one who could help her. And many people don't have what they desire because they simply don't believe that God is the only one that can help them. And in not believing that God is the only one that can help you, ultimately, you miss out on so much. As she kept on praying, Mike talked about this concept from 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Pray continually. Well, here Hannah, it's a picture of it. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli, the priest, sitting on his chair at the temple doorpost, he observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart. Now we're going to get a description what praying in your heart looks like. But she was praying in her heart. Her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So you can just picture, there's Eli, a big, big guy. Later on, so big he falls over and breaks his neck. And I mean, he's a big guy sitting on that chair at the doorpost, sees this woman, and sees this expression of her lips moving. And his thought is, this woman's drunk. Now, to think that she's drunk, and we've all been around drunk people, I have. And you can normally see and tell when a person's drunk. Emphasizes, I think, the intensity of her talking to the Lord as she was pouring out and praying from her heart. Her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Almost reminds me of that time when you are hurting so bad that you cry out in grief, but nothing comes out, just silence. That's sort of the what I. But her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." He misread this, but maybe rightly so. Hannah's prayer was spoken from her heart. It was spoken in sincere passion and utter dependence on the Lord. Last week, in the prayer of Jabez, "Oh Lord," we said the prayer of Jabez was a prayer where he went before God in sincere passion and utter dependence. And we saw that just in the word, "Oh." It was so interesting. I was sitting down with Doris and Ken Dietz this week, talking to them about their year anniversary and some pictures. And she said, "You know, when you were talking about that, oh, it reminded me of that song, Oh, How I Love Jesus." And she said, and the only way that she can say, "Oh," and that "oh" is a big "oh." That's the essence of what we're talking about here. She, like Jabez, prayed in a way to God that had absolute passion and absolute utter dependence on God. That is the way that we pray. Not all the time. Our prayers should be passionate, and we should be utterly dependent on God all the time. But it's not like you find yourself unleashing in this way all the time. Jesus didn't, but then there were times that he did. But there were times. I've had this time several different times in my life. And I'm sure you have too. She was praying in her heart. Her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. When is the last time that your prayer was so passionate for something that you desired and wanted as you went before God, that you were that expressive in that kind of way? I am telling you, sometimes we pray just too casual. "Oh, I got to hurry and get this in." And a hurried prayer is okay sometimes. I get it. But I don't want a hurried prayer be so casual that I'm not giving you God the passion and desire that he deserves. And I want him to know, "I mean this, Lord." One of the things I've told you in different series is one of the things that is the heart of our Mighty Men group that meets every other Tuesday evening is, in my prayers, I do. I mean, I say things like this: "Lord, it's your servant Patrick. He knows that. I'm asking you to stop what you're doing." Like God would have to stop what he's doing to hear my prayer. But I want you to know that in the way I think, and it's the only way I can think, "Lord, I want you in heaven
with all that you're doing to stop and focus here right now what I'm getting ready to do just for you. I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that I depend on you. I want you to know that I can do nothing without you. I want you to know and I want you to hear, because I am separating and sanctifying this prayer to you to say, I'm your man, and I want you to know I feel that way in my imperfection. Lord, stop what you're doing and just listen to me. Don't listen to Carol or Jim. Lord, just listen to me right now. But God's big enough, he's listening to everybody. But that's Hannah's prayer. And I just don't think most of us pray like that. Ever, sometimes. You might be younger. And you know, you've never had anything in life that moves you naturally to pray this way. When Ashley was 2, she had this big fibrous tumor on her leg, and we just knew, you know, it's cancer. Prayed like it all depended on God. I'm not such an apprehensive flyer anymore, Tim, but I used to be like really, really apprehensive flyer, like, everybody in the plane, shut up, quit talking. We may die any moment. That kind of apprehensive. So I'd get on that plane and I would go into prayer mode and ask the Lord not only to part the clouds, but make the air smooth, Lord. Smooth, smooth. It was an intense prayer. And when I got on the ground, Lord, thank you. Don't ever put me up in one of these again. May your name be praised. I'm just trying to say, we need some passion and utter dependence in prayer. Lord, I want someone to love. Well, let me go on a dating site. I'll find someone to love on a dating site. Well, you know, that's okay. That's how my daughter met Jonathan. I even told her to do it. But if I'm just going to depend on the site and not depend on God to work everything out and the possibility, then I've got problems. And young people, a time will come in your life where you'll have the emotional state of Hannah. And I hope that you remember the place you go to is God. And I hope you remember that you will have to be patient. Be patient, be patient, be long-suffering and faithful in prayer. Now here's my most excited part of the sermon. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled, and I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. This whole concept of trying to define for you what is this sweet hour of prayer. You know, sweet hour of prayer can be a lot of different things, but it's not talking to you about sweet hour of prayer is how long you pray. That could be sweet. Sweet hour of prayer is from the place where you prayed. Oh, I prayed in my closet. Well, that can be sweet too. Sweet hour of prayer isn't the time of day. Oh, I pray every day in the morning, noon, and before sunset, which that could be sweet. But sweet hour of prayer, the way that I see it as in the life of Hannah, sweet hour of prayer was about a moment in time where her desire for a child and her distress in not having that child, but the hope against hope that God could do for her what she would ask, merged together, and there is this explosion of pouring out her soul to God. That is sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer is powerful. Sweet hour of prayer is meaningful. Sweet hour of prayer is comforting, soothing, and peaceful. Sweet hour of prayer is mine, and sweet hour of prayer can be yours. It can be ours if we will simply surrender to God and follow these spiritual principles to depend utterly and completely on Him. Amen. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. Why did Hannah say that? All Eli said to her was, quit getting drunk. Getting drunk is sinful. Always has been. Always will be. God does not want His people to get drunk. Period. Hannah says to Eli, do not take me for a wicked woman. I have been praying. I'm not drunk. And in today's society, we need to really be careful. I'm not saying you can't have a glass of wine. I'm not the one to tell you to do anything like that. But I'm simply saying, if we let God's word guide us, do not get drunk. Don't let alcohol control you and take over you. It's not what God wants for you. He wants you to be filled with the Spirit. Thank you, YouTube. Eli answered, go in peace and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of Him. The priest was a powerful man in these covenants that God had established and was a representation. And so in a sense, it was his blessing that God would probably move, and may He give you what you've been praying for. Hannah's broken heart over this unanswered prayer didn't cause her to give up and stop praying. I just want to sort of double down on that. I've got a couple of prayers that I've been praying now for years, and they're unanswered. Boy, does a biblical story like this encourage me. You just keep giving it to God, Patrick. And God will work it out His way. And you just be blessed by that. But I'm going to keep praying from the desire of my heart. You know, in some of those prayers that are like Hannah's for me, God has answered. My wife, still with me, 36 years, got this heart problem figured out. Didn't know that at first. Between Ashley's lupus and all the things that she was going through initially, the infection that she developed right at the peak of the COVID-19 and be in the hospital for like 8 days and no one could go see her, not even her own husband. And yet, like, hey, this could get out of hand. God answered. But He may not answer for me or you everything that we want. She did not give up on praying. Be faithful in your prayers. Don't stop praying. Then she went her way after Eli had said, may God give you what you've asked for. She goes her way, heads back home. Now she's eating food. Do you notice that? And her face was no longer downcast. Something had changed. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant. and she gave birth to a son. And she named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Samuel means heard of God. In the course of time. What does that mean?
Oh, we're getting ready to tell you what that means.
In the course of time. In the course of Hannah's time? In the course of the Lord's time. Everything is in the course of the Lord's time. Not yours, not mine. The Lord's. And at first we say, I don't like that. But you get any kind of life lived, I like that. Because I'm so thankful for the things that God hasn't given me that I pray for. In the course of time is pointing to God being in control. And God turned Hannah's gloom and sadness into light and joy with the birth of Samuel. Now I'm going to sort of reset and go back to verse 5 to make this point about in the course of time. For Hannah, in the course of time, for you, for me. Look at what he says in verse 5 and 6. But to Hannah he gave a double portion, and this is her husband giving her a double portion of meat to sacrifice at the altar, because she didn't have a child. The other wife did, and all the irritating battle between Hannah's broken heart. So her husband Elkanah gave Hannah a double portion because he loved her. And the Lord, what? The Lord had closed her womb. And if you didn't get it, let's have verse 6. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb. In the course of time is a phrase that represents God is sovereign and God is in control, and things unfold God's way and in God's time for His glory, even though it may bless you and be an answer to your prayer. It is for His glory and for His purpose. No matter what we ask or how badly we may want it, answer to prayer isn't in our timing. But it's in God's perfect timing for His perfectly ordained plan. Why, God, did you make Hannah wait? Only God knows that. But it would not be too far-fetched to speculate. Could it be that God needed Samuel born at a certain time and a certain place from a certain woman in a certain state of mind, because her mindset's changing? It's not gloom and doom. It's joy and peace from the Lord. Could it be that God is in such control of the destiny of people's lives that God, I can't give Him to you right here when you want Him, but I'm going to give it to you right here when I need Him, so that He will become for me a great prophet, a great priest, and a great judge to my people. God's timing, God's perfect plan is what it means in the course of time. And praise God for that. Lord, I don't have it yet, but I'm still asking. I don't have it, but when I get it, if you choose to give it to me, I'll praise your name. So don't give up. Don't quit praying. Don't stop trusting the Lord. Know that if you've not experienced this kind of a prayer at some point in your life, you need to go deeper. Deeper. Don't allow the emotional state of Hannah that so many do have in this world, of anxiety, fear, just to put you in a corner and set you down and coil up in the fetal position. Get down in the basement. Give me some Netflix. Let me zone out. Just bring me something to eat. That's not us. That's not God's people. That's a spiritual principle. So the main emphasis for today's message, although there's a lot of principles, be patient, long-suffering, and faithful in prayer. Remember the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus"? Just read along. All our sins and what? Griefs to bear. Thank you, Lord. What a privilege to carry. It's, you know, prayer's not a, like, oh, I gotta pray. It's a privilege. Everything, not some things, but everything to God in prayer. Here's another truth. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything. Romans 12:12. Be joyful in hope. Hannah was. Patient in affliction. Hannah was. Faithful in prayer. Hannah was. Now that's where the sermon was supposed to stop. Especially to my small group leaders, that's where it stops in your small group discussion guide handout. But the Lord hit me last night early in the morning. 2 minutes, Matt. I'm going to round this thing up quick. Because we're supposed to be done now, but I've got to give you this. I'll just, a final thought on Hannah's prayer. Now hang in there, because this is going to excite you. A final thought on Hannah's prayer. I'm going to show three parts of verses. Verse 11, she made a vow. We know what that part was. Then I will give him to the Lord. The Nazarite vow, a vow that she was making for her son. He'll never cut his hair. He'll never touch fermented drink. He'll never be around a dead body. If someone dies in front of him, he'll, you know, have to shave his head normally and start all over again, but not Samuel. No razor will ever be used on his head. But I want you to see, I will give him to the Lord. After the boy was weaned, normally Jewish culture, 3, 4, 5 years old. After the boy is weaned, I will take him, present him before the Lord, and he will always live there. He's not going to live at home with mom. Now imagine a 3 to 5 year old child, your grandchild, you're taking them and you're leaving them with Eli and his two sons. He's going to live, he will live there always. I prayed for this child, and the Lord granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord for his whole life. He will be given to the Lord. Hannah received what she prayed for and then gave it all back to the Lord. Some people don't have because they don't ask. And some people don't have because when they ask with false motives to use the blessing for themselves only. Here is the spiritual principle that whatever God blesses me with, whatever I ask Him for, although it may just touch my heart, it will be used for His glory. So God, what you give me, I give back. May you pray like Hannah. God bless each and every one of you. Let's go to the Lord in praise and worship.